A lot of stuff there, huh? I won't go through everything. As much as I was tempted to do it, we'd be here till the 6 o'clock Mass tonight if I did. But a few things I want to pull out from the Gospel. First of all, it is that so often in our culture today, we look at Jesus and we say, well, he's a good teacher or a good guy, but he's only that. And the Gospel today puts the lie to that. The Gospel says Jesus is more than just a teacher. Jesus claims to be God. And indeed he is. But we can't go along with our lives saying, well, you know, Jesus is a nice teacher, and, you know, if I follow the teachings, that's nice. If I don't, that's nice too. No. Either he's God, he's who he says he is, and we have to follow everything he asks us to, or he's not God, and therefore he's a crazy guy or an evil man, and we should reject everything he says. But there's no middle ground. What do I mean him saying that he's God? Well, first of all, he says, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The law came from God. It was handed from God to Moses and from Moses to the people. Who has the authority to change what God teaches? Who has the authority to change God's law? Only God. By Jesus getting up and saying, I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. You know, what would you think if I came up here and says, you know what? You don't have to listen to what was there before. I'm the fulfillment of the Word of God. You'd laugh your heads off. You'd say, Father, get out of here. You're crazy. And then he goes on to say, four times, not once, not twice, four times in today's Gospel, you have heard it said, and in each of those times it's from Exodus or Deuteronomy or Numbers or Leviticus or Malachi. He says, four times, you have heard it said, but I say to you, if you were a good Jew living in the time of Jesus and you heard that, you would say, something's different here. You wouldn't just go along with it and say, oh yeah, that's funny, that's nice. No, it's saying that only God has the authority to change God's law. You have heard it said, but I say to you. Again, if I were to say, you know what, you've read in the Bible that God says this, but I'm telling you, this is what you have to do. Throw that out and listen to me. Who does that? A cult leader. Don't listen to me if what I say goes against the Word of God. I'm not God. Jesus, however, claimed to be God, as he says, you have heard it said, but I say to you. And so we look at this and we say, Jesus is saying something different, something that we don't hear necessarily in our culture today, because we're kind of so used to it. But in this we have to say, what Jesus is saying then must have weight for every part of our lives. Because he's God. So what's he saying? Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. This, I'd say, is an important piece of information. If I were to ask for a show of hands, all of you would probably raise your hand saying you do actually want to go to heaven eventually. Unlike the pastor who came to his congregation and said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everyone raised their hand except one farmer in the back. And he looked out and says, how many of you want to go to hell? And no one raised their hand. He says, sir, where do you want to go? Oh, I thought you were talking about taking a trip today. Eventually, we want to get to heaven. Maybe not today, but we do want to get there eventually. So Jesus says, if you don't have righteousness greater than the scribes and Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. This is important. We want to then listen to what he's talking about. Now, when we look at the observance of the law and the righteousness there, no one could have exceeded that of the Pharisees. They separated themselves from society and lived out the law as best they could with all the minor details of the law. They lived it out. We know this. St. Paul talks about how he did this before he found Jesus. And he says, so we look and we say, how can we live out all the facets of the law? How can we become more righteous than them? And Jesus says, he shows in all these things. He says it needs to go from the outside to the inside. It needs to go from external observance to a movement of the heart. That is not just good enough that, to say that we haven't killed anyone. You have heard it said, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother, whoever says you fool, that when we then go deeper to the inside, that is where we find righteousness. Not in the external observance. Sometimes we can think just doing the outside stuff is enough. But truly, truly, I say to you, if all you do is come to Mass and zone out and don't listen and don't pay attention and don't pray, and you're saying, well, I did my obligation, I went to Mass on Sunday, that's not enough alone to get you to heaven. We can't just do the external. It has to get to the heart. You know, this is something I struggle with a lot, but you know, there are times people say something or do something or, you know, whatever, and no one ever notices necessarily my reactions on sometimes, but there are times on the internally I roll my eyes. It's like, can you believe they just said that? And I just keep smiling. But there's sin there. There's sin there because there's judgment on my part. And I have to go to confession pretty regularly in order to get rid of this stuff. But it needs to get deep within. God wants to write His law on our hearts, not just in the way we live externally, not just in the things we do, but even in the things we think, in the patterns of our lives. He says this, and I'm not going to go into each of the four things. There's so much here. I'll let you read that and study that on your own. I'm just going to do this first one. Whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. And then he goes on and says, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar and first go and be reconciled. And God says we must be people of forgiveness. We must be able to go and say, I'm sorry. We must be able to say, I forgive you. You know, one of the biggest things that keeps us from God is unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. You know that thing where you think you're over it, but every time a person comes to your mind or you remember a certain situation, you get all angry and bitter and uptight again? That's called resentment, to feel again. This keeps us from giving our hearts to God. And God wants us to be able to forgive from the depths of our hearts so that we can find freedom. Not so that people can walk over us like a doormat, but so that we can find freedom in Christ. And it's not like he didn't ask us to do something that He hasn't done already. When we look at our God, when we look at our dear Jesus, and we see in Him someone who never sinned, who is the most innocent. Who of us can claim to be so innocent? And yet, He was also denied by His best friends, betrayed. He was left by the ones who were the closest to Him. And then this injustice was done to Him as He was killed for no reason, in the most brutal way, and tortured. Which of us can say that a greater injustice has been done to us than was done to Almighty God? And yet, what does He say from the cross? He says, Father, forgive them. And then not only does He say, forgive them, it's like He makes excuses. He says, they do not know what they are doing. He makes excuses for us as we nail Him to the cross by our sins. He makes excuses for you and for me. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. And so He calls us then also with His help, with His grace, to reach out in forgiveness. That from the depths of our hearts we have to say, I forgive. I no longer hold this against anyone. And with that, God then brings healing to our woundedness. He brings healing to our hearts. Sisters and brothers, it is absolutely necessary for us, if we are to follow Jesus, who is Almighty God, to go from just that which is out, now moving to that which is in, to the depths of our hearts. We have to allow that law to be written on our hearts, to transform us, to change even our thought patterns. Just as an aside, someone said this, if we were like in the cartoons where we had a thought bubble and people could read what we were thinking over us, how quickly would we actually change what we were thinking? I think it would be pretty quick. Well, God can. And He does. And He wants us to conform even our minds to Him.